Designing Your Life: How to Build a Well-Lived, Joyful Life. Authors: Bill Burnett and Dave Evans. Welcome to Life Design. Design thinking can help you solve your own life design problems. It can help you build a well-designed life that is meaningful, joyful, and fulfilling. When you think like a designer, when you are willing to ask questions, when you realize that life is always about designing something that has never existed before, then your life can sparkle in a way you could never have imagined. That is, if you like sparkles. It's your design, after all. Start where you are. Design thinking can help you build your way forward from wherever you are, regardless of the problems you are facing. But before you can figure out which direction to head to, you need to know where you are and what design problems you are trying to solve. A way to take stock of your current situation is to use the HWPL dashboard, which focuses on four main areas of life. Health. By health, we mean physical, mental, and emotional health. Work. The stuff you do, whether you're paid for it or not. Play. When an activity is done to win, advance, or achieve, even if it's fun, it's not play. Love. Love comes to us in a wide range of types and from a huge array of sources, but they all share one thing: the sense of connection. Building a compass. Now, it's the time to get you pointed in the right direction for the journey ahead. For that, you'll need a compass. Two views create your compass: your work view and your life view. Your work view is what work means to you. What is work for? What makes good work good? When using the term work, we mean the broadest definition, not just what you do to make money for a job. Your life view, on the other hand, is your ideas about the world and how it works. What gives life meaning? What makes your life worthwhile or valuable? How does your life relate to others in your family, your community, and the world? Write down a short reflection for both your work view and your life view. Aim for 250 words for each. If you can see the connections between who you are, what you believe, and what you're doing, you'll know when you're on course, when there is tension, when there might be need to be some careful compromises, and when you are in need of a major course correction. You won't always know where you're going, but you will always know whether you're going in the right direction. Wayfinding. Since there is no one destination in life, you can't put your goal into your GPS and get the turn-by-turn directions for how to get there. What you can do is pay attention to the clues in front of you. The first of these clues are engagement and energy. Engagement. You need to learn what activities reliably engage you, the activities that bring you to flow. Energy. We engage in physical and mental activities all day long. Some activities sustain our energy and some drain it. We want to track those energy flows. To track your engagement and your energy, we are going to ask you to create a good time journal, which will contain two main elements: activity log and reflections. The activity log simply lists your primary activities and how engaged and energized you were by them. The second element of the good time journal is reflection. It's looking over your activity log and noticing anything that is a clue to what does and doesn't work for you. Here's one tool to make detailed and accurate observation: the AEIOU method, which provides you with 5 sets of questions you can use when reflecting on your activity log. Activities. What were you actually doing? Was this a structured or unstructured activity? Did you have a specific role to play, or were you just a participant? Environment. Notice where you were when you were involved in the activity. What kind of place was it, and how did it make you feel? Interactions. What were you interacting with? People or machines? Was it a new kind of interaction, or one you are familiar with? Was it formal or informal? Objects. Were you interacting with any objects or devices? iPads or smartphones? Hockey sticks or sailboats? What were the objects that created or supported your engagement? Users. Who else was there? And what role did they play in making it either a positive or a negative experience? Using AEIOU method can really help you zoom in effectively and discover what is or isn't working for you. So many lives, so little time. One of the most powerful ways to design your life is to design your lives. Of course, we can only live out one at a time, but we want to ideate multiple variations in order to choose creatively and generatively. Imagine and write down three different versions of the next 5 years of your life. Life 1. That thing you do. Your first plan is centered on what you've already got in mind, either your current life, expanded forward, or that hot idea you've been nursing for some time. Life 2. The thing you'd do if the thing 1 were suddenly gone. Imagine that your life 1 idea is suddenly over, or no longer an option. But you still have to make a living. You can't do nothing. So what would you do? Life 3. The thing you'd do, or the life you live, if money or image were no object. If you knew you could make a decent living at it, and you knew no one would laugh at you or think less of you for doing it, what would you do? A good designer asks questions to test assumptions and reveal new insights. In each potential timeline, you'll investigate different possibilities and learn different things about yourself and the world. What kinds of things will you want to test and explore in each alternative version of your life? Be curious about what you might discover. Try making at least one of these plans a bit wild. Even if it's something you'd never do in your right mind, write down your most far-fetched and crazy idea. Designing your dream job. If most of what you do at work is not bringing you alive, then it's killing you. It's your career after all. You're going to be spending a lot of time doing it. Work is fun when you are learning into your strengths and are deeply engaged and energized by what you're doing. However, there's no dream job, no unicorns, no free lunch. But there are lots of interesting jobs in worthwhile organizations populated by dedicated and hardworking people trying to do honest work. The hidden job market is the job market that's only open to people who are already connected into the web of professional relationships in which that job resides. This is an insider's game, and it's almost impossible to get inside that web as a job seeker. But it's quite possible to crack into the network as a sincerely interested inquirer. Someone looking for the story, not the job. That's how it works. Remember, all you are looking for from a live design interview is to learn about a particular kind of work or role to help you find out if you want, at a later date, to try to get a job doing that kind of work yourself. Most of the time, the person talking to you can end up initiating an offer. "You seem very interested in what we do here," they might say. "And from what you've said, it sounds like you have talents we could use. Have you ever thought of working someplace like this?" It happens all the time. But if it doesn't happen for you, you can ask one question that will convert the conversation from getting their story to pursuing a job. "The more I learn about XYZ, the more fascinating it becomes. I wonder what steps would be involved in exploring how someone like me might become a part of this organization." This is an open-ended question that invites possibilities far beyond just what's available today. Studies confirm that most of us like being helpful. It's hardwired into our DNA. We are social creatures, and helping one another is one of the things that make us feel best. The use of personal or professional networks to initiate new people into a community is a good thing. The network exists to sustain the community of people getting the work done. This is the only way to gain access to the hidden job market. Choosing happiness. The secret to happiness is learning to choose well and to live with the choices we make. In life design, the choosing process has 4 steps. Step 1. Gather and create options. You can use the option-generating tools we discussed above for any area of your life. Step 2. Narrow down the list. We love having options, but we can't deal with too many of them. Most minds can choose effectively between only 3 to 5 options. If you've got a list of 12 options, cross out 7. Don't worry about crossing off the wrong ones. If you cross the wrong ones, you'll know afterwards. Step 3. Choose discerningly. To choose well, we need to understand where good choices come from. Doing this requires that you educate and mature your access to your inner wisdom. For centuries, the most commonly affirmed path to such maturity has been that of personal practices such as journaling, prayer or spiritual exercises, meditation, integrative physical practices like yoga or tai chi, and so on. Adopting these practices can help build up the muscles for your emotional intelligence. Step 4. Let go and move on. Do yourself the favor of getting lots of options, culling the list down to a short and manageable size, then making the best choice you can, given the time and resources available to you. Get on with it and build your way forward. And when in doubt, let go and move on. A parting note. When designing your life, you start with who you are. You generate lots of ideas rather than wait and wait for the right idea. You try things out by doing them, and then you make the best choices you can. As you do all this, you grow various aspects of your personality and identity that are nurtured and called upon by those experiences. You become more of yourself.